let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level up, yeah, this is the fight. Feel the rush, can't kill the stride. Eyes ahead, I'm moving strong. This is the anthem, let's sing along.
Woo, here's a hot take on this week's episode.
Yeah. But everything that you said about your values, the six is where the values are based. And what I heard you talk about was that you value the experience, mm-hmm. the camaraderie, the joy in playing itself, not having it be about winning. Mm-hmm. If you reach over to the six and focus on how it's not unsafe to lose, there's value in aligning with what you want and what you see and who you want to be that brings in growth in that loyal skeptic that can help you experience greater joy in tennis, even if you're not the champion.
Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive.
Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, where we are taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we are welcoming Beverly Jurenko to the show. Welcome, Beverly.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. I am so excited to be here. This is my first time doing a live broadcast of a podcast, so it's a milestone for me, and I can't wait to do what we're going to do.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. So let me tell my audience a little bit about your amazing background. So Beverly is an executive coach who helps CEOs, founders, and senior leaders navigate the defining moments of leadership. She has an extraordinary background going from private equity, investment banking, energy, and global leadership roles at huge companies such as Bank Boston Capital, Enron, and Darko Petroleum. Beverly brings a unique blend of strategic experience and business development. She is an Ivy Leaguer. Beverly is a Yale graduate. She has a Harvard MBA. She's a certified executive coach and an advanced Enneagram practitioner. Beverly helps leaders uncover what's holding them back, find their center under pressure, and lead with greater confidence, connection, and impact. Today, we're deep diving into the Enneagram. I'm so excited. We've never had an Enneagram discussion on this show. So she's going to teach us all about it today. And we're going to help you find an executive presence, your center, and how greater self-awareness using the Enneagram system can help you create more influence with less stress and less burnout. Welcome to the show, Beverly Jurenko.
Thank you so much. And Rebecca, I'd like to acknowledge you for your willingness and your courage in participating in this live Enneagram debrief. The Enneagram, unlike a lot of other assessments, is something that people find is very positive and not something that boxes people into a certain type or stereotypes. It's truly a tool that gives you an opportunity to see yourself, to appreciate yourself, to laugh at the little quirks that we have that are amongst us, to see other people in a new way, and see the ways that we can reach and grow and stretch to become more complete as human beings.
Yeah, there's if you can't laugh at yourself, you know, then I don't know. I've had to learn how to laugh at myself, so yeah, let's get into it. So when I met Beverly, I was obviously impressed by her illustrious background, but I wanted to understand the Enneagram. And I feel like the best way to understand anything is to first experience it myself. So Beverly sent me an extensive Enneagram questionnaire. I filled it out, and she's going to share my results with me, but also do a thorough overview of all the different Enneagram personality types. So let's hear it, Beverly. What happened when I took my Enneagram test?
Yeah, well, no surprise at all, Rebecca. Your Enneagram type, your core type, is a 3, which is the competitive achiever.
Mm-hmm.
It's housed in the feeling center of the Enneagram. And the 3 is someone who scans the environment broadly, who tries to figure out the lay of the land and the rules of the game. Someone who is a competitive achiever is likely to notice competition and want to compete in just about every space there is. And the 3 focuses very much on the end goal, going through a brick wall to achieve the goal, to make it to the end, to win, to demonstrate worth and worthiness so that they will be loved and appreciated and adored. And the focus of the 3 is the ability to spot risks, make sure that anyone who's against it is brought under the wing, and just get out there and win. It's a beautiful type and a perfect type for you as the leader of a podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I'm sure with all your work with executive leadership, you've come across a lot of CEOs that have this personality type.
I have, actually, and it's very interesting. There are certain types that tend to gravitate to certain industries, mm-hmm. although it's very important to point out that every type can be a CEO. Every type can be an artist. It depends on how you approach it and what you do with the talents that that specific Enneagram brings you. So it's not something that's like a recruiting or assessment tool that says, oh, you're this type, you're going to be an architect, or you're that type, you're going to be an engineer. It's something that creates opportunities. So let me say that every type is beautiful. And before I go further, I want to acknowledge the company that taught me everything I know about Enneagram. It's called Integrative Enneagram, IEQ9.com. I've taken many of their courses. They have amazing instructors, and they're the ones who are the authors of the assessment that you took. So I owe a lot to them.
Great. Well, it was a very thorough assessment, and I played around with Enneagram a few years ago, but I just took a free quiz online. This was like a very thorough professional assessment. So let's keep going with it.
Well, I'd love to just tell you and tell your listeners a little bit about the origin of the Enneagram and how it's set up, and walk you through the different types so you can just get an orientation.
I would love that. Yeah. What is the Enneagram, and why should we care about it?
Okay. So first of all, what does Enneagram mean? It's like a funny word, and how do you spell it? But Ennea means 9, the number 9, and gram means something written or drawn. So there's this visual, it's just a big circle with 9 numbers that go around it. And that is the Enneagram. There's a lot of math in it. The belief is that the roots of the Enneagram go all the way back to Homer and the Odyssey, to Plato and to Pythagoras. Because there's a lot of math in it. There's the law of 7s, the law of 3s, about relationships and balance. Because what we as human beings are seeking most is balance, right? If you're imbalanced, you're putting yourself at risk. And Enneagram kind of lay dormant for a long period of time. But in the late 1900s, it kind of got gathering steam. And now we find that a number of companies have developed adaptations and tools, dynamic assessment tools that look at all the aspects of it to give us ways to use it, to apply it. And what makes Enneagram unique from other personality assessments is that it looks at your motivation, and the motivation diagnoses who you are. Many other of the assessments look at the behavior and says, if you do this, you're that. But Enneagram looks at core fears in 3 areas that I would, that I'm going to walk you through to give you an understanding. So the 3, the competitive achiever, is in the area that's the feeling center. So the feeling center is all about the heart. and the desire to be loved and appreciated and adored. So those are three of the areas. They're typically green on an Enneagram wheel. And in that area, the three types all do things to generate a feeling that they're worthy of being loved. And then the next area would be the thinking center. That would be the brain center. Those are typically blue in an Enneagram wheel. And those are the ones where we're doing the thinking and the analysis. Mm-hmm. So we have a tri-type in the Enneagram. In the feeling center, your strongest indicator is the three, the competitive achiever. In the thinking center, your strongest score is in the seven, the enthusiastic visionary. The enthusiastic visionary, yeah, perfect for an entrepreneur. Many entrepreneurs are enthusiastic visionaries. Let me tell you about the enthusiastic visionary. The enthusiastic visionary wants to experience it all to avoid pain.
Yes.
They're very creative, very positive, big smile, kind of like the Labrador of the group. Like,
exactly.
Okay, there's no dog treat over here. I'm going to go over there. So the seven has wide open eyes, taking in all the information and focusing on the future and all the possibilities and connecting the dots. So you as a seven are constantly thinking, where is the new opportunity? Where can I go? Where can I create?
Yes. I feel sometimes that I have entrepreneurial ADD because it's hard for me to just focus on one business because so many other businesses speak to me.
The seven thinks and believes the world is my oyster. There's just a menu of possibilities and it's so exciting.
It is, but I would think that would be the feeling center because isn't enthusiasm an emotion? But you're saying that the seven, so feeling, thinking, and then what's the third thing?
The third one is action.
An action.
Action. So that's your body. That's what your body is doing.
Okay. How do you determine
and like, you,
which is thinking and which is feeling and which is action? Is it all from?
Well, let me tell you about your third, the third area and where your strongest indicator is.
Okay.
So in the body center, that's where we're taking action all the time. To do things, to be in control. So your strongest indicator in the action center is an eight, the active controller.
Mm-hmm.
So that a person who is an eight wants to avoid vulnerability by being in control.
Mm-hmm. True.
Not necessarily does that mean controlling other people. It just means taking agency of yourself and being able to navigate the situation with a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So you put it all together for you, and that means you feel like a three. You want to achieve and establish your worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how you earn love. And you act like an eight, so you'll take action all the time to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very effective interaction and combination. And then your thinking center is saying, okay, now, the three wants to avoid failure. The eight wants to avoid vulnerability. They're very similar, right?
Yes.
So the seven says, oh, I don't want to fail. I don't want to be vulnerable. Anytime I feel at risk of doing that, I'm going to create something new.
Makes sense.
So that's your tri-type. Before we come back to that and explore really you as a three, I'd love to just walk you through the other types too, so your listeners have an idea of what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And that way we won't interrupt this because this is really important and I'm really excited. So make sure you guys come back after this commercial break with a pen or something to write on. Or if you're listening on the treadmill or driving, obviously come back later in the day or the night. But this is going to be really juicy because we're going to get the full overview of all the Enneagram types. You're listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, and we'll be right back. Did you know collagen production starts declining in your mid-20s and decreases every year due to factors like stress, sun, and hormonal shifts? By your 40s and 50s, that change can become even more noticeable, not just in your skin, but in how your body feels. Collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, and it plays a key role in skin elasticity and glow, smoother looking skin, joint comfort and mobility, and healthy and connective tissue support. That's why I've been loving Amari New Collagen, a simple way to nourish from within to feel radiant at every age, because beauty isn't about chasing youth. It's about supporting your body and feeling vibrant in the season you're in. Get the details and shop the link in the show notes for a special discount. If you haven't grabbed my Balanced Beautiful Bundle, what are you waiting for? This is my gift to help you create success without burnout and to elevate every area of your life. Inside, you'll get a free digital copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time, where I break down my signature 7 pillars of abundance and share 21 powerful affirmations to help bring every pillar to a level 10. You'll also receive my favorite ageless beauty tips, my life-changing abundance journal prompts, and the Elegant Warrior Manifesto. If you're ready to feel more balanced, more magnetic, and more abundant, head to the link in the show notes and grab all the goodness. Again, that's the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We were talking with Beverly Jurenko, who is an executive coach and an expert all things Enneagram. She was about to tell us an overview of all the different personality types. So let's hear it, Beverly.
Okay, so let's start with the one. The one is the strict perfectionist, and that's in the action center. So if you are a strict perfectionist, you want to do the right thing, and you identify that there's a good and a bad associated with being right and wrong, that right is good and bad is wrong. So the one is constantly taking action to be perfect. The two is in the feeling center, and the two has a strong need to be liked and appreciated. And the way the two earns appreciation and love, because that's the feeling center, is by being helpful and putting other people ahead of themselves, creating value. If I am helpful to you, you will love me. The three, as we discussed, the competitive achiever has a very strong drive to be the best. And threes grow up earning many trophies and awards and scholarships and accolades because if I am the best, if I achieve, then you will love me. Mm-hmm. The four is the intense creative. The four strives to be unique and authentic as the creative. The four feels like the way they can achieve is by seeing things and feeling things that others cannot see. We need the four, the emotional four, because many of the other types are uncomfortable with the range of emotions we need in, as human beings. And if we don't fully feel the emotions, we can miss things in our business, in our relationship for ourselves. So the four is a part of ourselves that's very important to appreciate in other people and to develop in ourselves. Now we're moving to the thinking center, the five, the quiet specialist. The quiet specialist has to understand. You find a lot of engineers, scholars, you know, I don't know if you've known people who go very, very deep into subjects. They want to read, you know, they don't want to just want to read one book on something. They want to read every single book ever written on something.
They geek out on it. That's what I call it.
Yes.
Okay. The first mm-hmm. four personality types are all in the feeling section.
So the first one is in the action center, the perfectionist.
Okay.
So the perfectionist is taking action. Yeah. Okay.
So they're all different. So whether it's from the feeling, the thinking, or the action center, that doesn't have anything to do with where it's at on the wheel?
It does. A great question. If you could see the wheel, or if your listeners want to just Google integrative Enneagram wheel, you can get a picture of this and see 8, 9, 1 are reddish, and those are in the action center. 2, 3, 4 are feeling, mm-hmm. and that's where the main drive is from the heart. Mm-hmm. And 5, 6, 7 are blue, where the main driver is from the head.
Okay. Got it. So
moving on. So yep. the quiet specialist. Yeah, I think we covered that.
So what number is the quiet specialist? Number five?
Number five.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
All right, let's keep
number
going.
Six is the loyal number six is the loyal skeptic. The loyal skeptic is the one in the room who knows where all the emergency exits are. They're cautious, they're constantly scanning the environment for dangers. And so their need is to be safe and to belong. They can see the dangers in the world and are constantly looking out for the worst case scenario. But that is something we need because we need people as we're planning to point out what the risks are.
Yeah.
The seven we talked about already, the enthusiastic visionary in the thinking center, wants to create, synthesize, connect the dots, build new possibilities. Many entrepreneurs are sevens. And the eight, the active controller, strives to be strong and be in control. They want to focus on expanding influence and will be very aware of who in the room has the power and influence because that's what they want to. The eight will also, you find many social justice people who are aware of injustice and unfairnesses. The eight is particularly a social eight. When they see people being mistreated, will stand up and say, "Stop! That's wrong! I protest!" And the nine, also in the body or the action center, is the adaptive peacemaker. And those are the ones who avoid conflict, who create consensus, who are taking action to bring people together to find commonalities so that we can have harmony.
Beautiful.
So there you go. What do you think of that? There's a quick tour around the Enneagram wheel.
I think it's absolutely fascinating. So tell me how you use the Enneagram wheel to help coach executives to step into their confidence and success. Like, why is this such an effective tool for you to use in your coaching practice?
Because when you know yourself better, you can lead better. And when you truly know who you are, anytime a problem or a conflict comes up, all you have to do is ask yourself, who am I and what are my values and what do I want? And you can see what you must do much more clearly.
Well, I feel like what's been happening to me lately is I've been trying to overcome my number three because I went back to tennis. I played Division I college. I was nationally ranked. I took 25 years off and now I want to reframe it and not make it all about winning, but make it more for the joy of the workout, the connecting, the social, the getting better at a skill. And it's been very challenging to overcome my number three personality, the high achiever and wanting to win. And I feel like I had a breakthrough yesterday where I lost. I totally got my ass whooped. And I wasn't pissed at myself, at my partner, at anyone. Like, I was like, that was really fun. I'm good. Like, so really, it's like, how do I let my enthusiast who wants to just have fun and cheer everyone on and be like that golden retriever replace my high achiever so I can enjoy life more? Because if I make my happiness predicated on if I win or lose, whether it's tennis or a client or anything else, then my life feels like it's out of control because I'm not always in control of whether I win or lose. And that goes to my third personality thing that I like to feel in control. So how would you explain what I'm going through as far as wanting to reframe tennis to bring some joy back into the sport?
What an amazing question that is. And I want to tell you that I see you as being very observant and self-aware that you're asking that question.
Thank you.
Because so many of the beautiful aspects of the three are your veracity, that you're driven, that you're high energy, that you're willing to compete. There are other types who are like, nope, competition, no way. I'm not even going to get on the court.
Yeah.
And that strength inspires other people to step up and try and learn more. It's a great skill that you're modeling for other people.
Thank you.
What you have pointed out are some of the low sides. Every type has its virtues and its vices. And the virtue of the three is your tenacity, your drive, your veracity. But the vice, because looking bad by losing is a great fear, would be to just like try to step away from that. So here's a thought that I pose to you and ask you, what is your response? What would it be like if you focused on who you are more than what you do?
Yes. Who am I being? And if you're listening to this, it might be business, tennis, you know, a relationship, parenting, but not what are you doing, but who are you being? So on the court, I am being playful and present and fun-loving and courageous and supportive and all these things that I'm being on the court. And when I focus on my being and who I am being, not what I'm doing, then I can enjoy it more and not make my self-worth tied up in the score of winning or losing.
Yes. So here is an advanced tool for you to consider in using the Enneagram. Every type has lines to other types that relieve stress and help them grow.
Okay.
And so for the three, one of your lines is to the six, the loyal skeptic.
I feel like that's the opposite of me.
Yes. And it's purposely that way. That's part of the beauty of it. In fact, six was one of your lowest scores.
Yeah.
But everything that you said about your values, the six is where the values are based. And what I heard you talk about was that you value the experience, the camaraderie, the joy in playing itself, not having it be about winning. If you reach over to the six and focus on how it's not unsafe to lose, there's value in aligning with what you want and what you see and who you want to be that brings in growth in that loyal skeptic that can help you experience greater joy in tennis, even if you're not the champion.
How does a loyal skeptic enjoy playing a sport more if they're worried about, I would think that they'd be like, oh my God, what if I miss? What if my string breaks? What if my partner's better? What if I trip over the ball? Like, that's what I think of. Like when I think of a loyal skeptic, they're looking at like everything that can possibly go wrong. So how could bringing that into my tennis game make it more joyful?
Well, the loyal skeptic also values belonging. And tends to be rational and dutiful.
Okay.
So a loyal skeptic may compete more with themselves and think about, I love the game. I want to improve my serve. Or I play against this one person who hits it down the line of my backhand every single freaking time and I miss it and I'm going to learn to get that ball. Like the loyal skeptic on the high side of development will say, what is the opportunity for me to build greater capacity and be stronger in this area that will complete what I really want for me?
So they look at things like, what is the opportunity to learn from the situation versus it's all about winning or losing? They see more the shades of gray, not black and white thinking.
Yes. So a six will want to create stability and safety and protect themselves and avoid threats, but will be loyal and responsible to the people, to the game, keeping score, being fair about giving developmental opportunities and sharing credit.
Yes. And being fair about calling the lines.
Yes. Yeah. That's always important. And the other line for you, the growth opportunity from the three, is to grow into and experience more of the adaptive peacemaker. So you're playing tennis, you're competing, but if you think about maybe you're playing doubles and there's somebody else on the court who is the weaker player, if your three is coming out strong, you're going to bam that ball at that weak person every single time so you can win the game. Mm-hmm. If your adaptive peacemaker is activated, you're going to think, well, how can I improve my game and have a good game and have a longer game and honor everybody who's here by helping that person in some way be successful, and seeing that having everyone being successful and winning in some way in the experience, and win can be defined however you want, not necessarily by score, but wanting to come back and play again with the same group. Mm-hmm. That's where the adaptive peacemaker can take action to bring other people in and create this team spirit and just build this whole system where you're all playing together and having a great time.
That is exactly what I'm doing, because I started this new group called Live Ball, and I'm bringing all these ladies into this fun class. It's competition, but it's not like playing a match, and it's more of a drill. And I am flexing into that adaptive peacemaker and having so much fun and freedom, not worrying about winning or losing.
Yes. And doing that, you know, looking at laughing at yourself, it's not all about winning. You can find joy when you lose as well.
It's very Zen, because, you know, Zen Buddhism is like, happiness is not getting what you want, it's wanting what you have. And, you know, chop wood and carry water to be happy. And I feel it's very process oriented. And so if I can be on the tennis court just enjoying the process of playing, getting a sweat, hitting the ball, running around more than the scorecard, then there's going to be so much more joy in the sport for me.
Yeah. And I want to point out also that Enneagram also looks at social instinct.
Okay.
And it measures whether you're more orientated to the group, to self-preservation, mm-hmm. or to one-on-one. And your strongest instinct is to the group. So you are a social three.
Okay.
And being a social three, you have the opportunity to lead in being productive and create a winning situation, because part of the mindset of a social three is, I'm going to create something where I'm going to win and we're all going to win together because of this. Does that resonate with you at all?
Oh my God. That's exactly what I'm doing with this live ball thing. I'm like wanting everyone to have a good workout and have fun and like the music. And I want everyone to like feel included and a part of it. And I totally feel that is a new definition of winning for me. And also what you said about, I can walk into a room, I can know who the alpha is, who's got the power, who's got the status. I can just feel a room, like intuitively, I know like where the power brokers are in the room, like in a second. So I don't know if that is part of my social three. But it's a sense that I have about social situations.
Absolutely. That's definitely part of it. You're going to come in and having strong interpersonal skills, you can read the room and you're going to analyze the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to figure out how you can shine in that room.
I am.
Does that resonate?
That's another, yes. That's another thing that has happened with maturity. Being a three and wanting to shine, I used to take up all the air in the room and want all the attention on me, me, me. Can we talk more about me? And in maturing emotionally, I have learned to celebrate others as they're in the spotlight and really lift others up. So I'm not just making it about me. And that is a lot of maturity for me, because as a youngster, like in my 20s, I was always like wanting to be the center of attention and competing for it. And now I can celebrate other people and let them take the center of attention and be like really excited for them and genuinely like, go, you got this.
Yeah, I see that, because interestingly, the nine, your adaptive peacemaker, is your fourth highest score.
Mm.
So clearly that's something you've developed over time.
Yeah.
And I would also say a developmental opportunity and something which can give you peace in those moments where it's feeling a little unsettling, like, did I win today? Did I shine today? Did I not shine today? Did I mess up? Is to know that, Rebecca, you are enough.
Mm.
You are enough. You are good enough. You are loved. All is well. You are perfect in your imperfections, and you can embrace that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, I need to hear that. So I think as a recovering perfectionist and overachiever, that I felt I had to perform to be lovable, and the healing, and like you say, the opportunity for growth is to know that I'm lovable, whether I win or lose or mess up or don't mess up, but I'm lovable just simply because I exist, not because I perform well. So on that note, we're going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I have a few more questions for Beverly about the Enneagram. Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. What if your dream retreat really existed and you got to help create it? If you're a high-achieving woman who's been doing all the things, I need your help. I'm planning my next luxury wellness retreat, and I don't want to create what I think women want. I want to create what you actually dream about. Tell me, what's your dream destination? What activities would light you up? What feels like the perfect investment, and how many days would help you truly reset and realign? Think wellness, connection, community, adventure, luxury, rest, and whatever feels nourishing to you. If you've been craving success without burnout, this retreat is being designed with women just like you in mind. Take my 2-minute survey. It's linked in the show notes. And who knows, your dream retreat might just become a reality. Do you feel like your love life is stagnating? Have you been single forever and feel like giving up on love? Or maybe you're in a relationship that's lost its magic. I want to give back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant community with a complimentary 15-minute romantic reset call. It's a space to reconnect, reset, and recalibrate your energy around love. Together, we'll uncover what may be blocking connection and create a fresh spark so that you can feel more open, aligned, and ignited in your love life. Because love isn't about forcing or chasing. It's about creating space and becoming magnetic to the connection you truly desire. Get the details and book your complimentary reset call in the show notes. Welcome back. We are interviewing here with Beverly Jarenko, executive coach, Ivy Leaguer, expert of the Enneagram and how we can use the Enneagram to live happier, more successful lives. So are we complete with my analysis, or is there anything else you wanted to tell me, Beverly?
Well, you're never complete with the Enneagram because it's so rich.
Yes.
Given that you have a score in each of the nine types, and each of them represents an opportunity to become more complete, or as IEQ9 says, integrated. there's always things to learn with the Enneagram. And there are things to learn when you view other people too. The more you read and learn about yourself, the more you might start to recognize Enneagram types in other people. Of course, you can't really tell their type unless they do the assessment, because you can be fooled. So don't think you can type somebody else, but you might hear certain things or hear certain fears from other people. Like, as you meet someone who is a five, which is not one of your stronger scores, it's one of your weaker ones.
Which is the five?
You might understand the five. Yes.
What is the five personality type?
Oh, the five is the quiet specialist.
Oh yes, that's definitely not me.
So for me, the quiet specialist, you and I share quite a lot mm-hmm. of features in our Enneagram profile.
That makes sense.
And
Ivy Leaguers, yeah. high achievers and all that. Yep.
Yeah. Hard on ourselves. Never expect more of other people than we do of ourselves, but, you know, it creates a lot of internal pressure. So the five for me is one of my opportunities to reach and grow. And, I perhaps before I learned about Enneagram would see people who were going very deep as maybe holding back knowledge or not wanting to share in some way. And now that I've studied the Enneagram and I understand the five a lot better, I can see that's how they're creating safety and value for themselves, is becoming a specialist in something. And maybe I just need to be a little more expansive in the way I talk to them, rather than expect a full dump, you know, data dump right away. Maybe I need to be a little more inviting and warm and activate the feeling side of me to make them feel more comfortable. So that's the part for you. And you're always welcome to come back and talk more about the Enneagram with me. You have an amazing type, a perfect tri-type to be very successful in the world. And it's just been an honor to have this experience with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'm not finished with you yet. I still have a few more questions before we wrap up the interview. Thank you. But thank you for the reading. I've really enjoyed it. So there are so many different quizzes and personality assessments out there. What makes the Enneagram different in your opinion?
Yeah. So the first is that it looks at what your type is based on your motivation, not your behaviors. Most of them start with your behaviors and say, this is who you are. Enneagram looks at what is the core driver. Is it something in your heart center, your mind center, or your body center, and takes it from there. Another thing that I think is interesting is with some other types, if you've ever been in a group where they say, okay, everybody this type go to this corner, everybody go to that, so is that type go to that corner, and you're all in your corners and you're looking at each other and you're like, yep, now I know why I never liked you. You know, this idea of introvert, extrovert, boxing people in with certain stereotypes, it can be toxic. And I don't find that that happens with the Enneagram, because every type in Enneagram is so beautiful. I'm in love with every Enneagram type that it makes it a positive experience for anybody who participates.
That's beautiful. I love that, because you understand them, I think, and you know their motivations. I think that's beautiful. So many women struggle with confidence and executive presence. And I know you have coached a lot of women into becoming executives and having more confidence and presence. What role does self-awareness play in confidence and leadership presence?
The fastest way to lose your standing is becoming rattled by someone who's pushing your buttons.
Mm.
When you let someone else drive your reactions, which is normal, something happens and somebody comes at us or we don't know the answer or something, we get stressed.
Yeah.
It's an automatic reaction. We're going to get stressed. Executive presence is having the self-awareness and knowledge to be able to keep our center so we can respond thoughtfully, deliberately, precisely, with the right balance of heart, mind, and body. And that for me is executive presence. It's all about finding your center. And the more you know about yourself, the less likely you are to get rattled when something happens or somebody comes at you.
I like that. It's like staying emotionally regulated and being responsive, not reactive, when somebody triggers you. That, I believe, is executive presence and confidence. And when you're aware of your personality type on the Enneagram, or just self-aware, you're like, okay, this usually triggers me. I'm going to pause and take a beat, take a breath, and I'm going to respond. I like to ask myself, how would love respond? What would love say? What would love do? How would love react to this person? And that really helps me stay high vibe.
Yes, I love that. That is so perfect, given that you're coming from the heart center.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what are some daily practices that you recommend to help leaders stay centered during stressful seasons of their life and career?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think many of us have already heard of the benefits of daily meditation. I think you've done a number of shows where this has come up before. I love your show, by the way. It's been fantastic to listen to the episodes. Just even a few minutes a day of quiet time and quieting your mind can help you find your center.
Mm-hmm.
I find I'm less reactive when things happen. I don't know how it works. I really don't understand it. But even a few minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, if you can do it, 5 minutes or 4 minutes of box breathing, whatever you can do to just bring some stillness. You can actually, I feel like I can feel the vibrations settling when I take that quiet time.
And when when do you like to meditate?
Late morning. So I get up, I have a lot of energy, I have my coffee, I'm very productive. I'm, you know, a late morning chronotype. And then after that, like, initial wave of getting a whole bunch of stuff done has passed, then I stop. I like to stop and be like, okay, let me do a scan. Let me do some breathing. Let me check in and just still the tension a little bit. The other thing is physical movement, exercise. I exercise. I try to do it every day, probably 6 out of 7 days a week. I'm on a Peloton, I'm hiking, I'm playing pickleball. I'm doing my weights as much as I can. You know, we know as women how important that is.
Yeah.
But physical movement too helps work things out. And I've just added, I'm on day 28 now of daily 10 minutes a day of Tai Chi, which is kind of like meditation.
Yeah.
But I'm finding, I don't know, my core seems a little tighter from this movement. And this idea of moving the energy around is really interesting to me. So we'll see how it is in another month. But just find something you like and commit to doing it every day. Just getting started is the hard part. But as soon as you hit the button and push go and get started, you're there. It's already done.
I love that. Yes, meditation and movement are so important to move energy and to stay calm during stressful times. Now we're going to end with some fun rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Oh no, this is the hardest part.
This is the best part. Coffee or tea? Do you like coffee or tea better?
Oh, coffee. Very strong. Yes, please.
Okay.
Coffee.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird. I was a competitive figure skater as a child. So the habit of waking up very early and getting started has never left me.
Wonderful. What is one book that changed your life?
Hmm. Oh, wow. That's such a good question. I could say the wisdom of the Enneagram, but that would be too obvious.
Right. No, you love the Enneagram. What else?
I'll say I recently read a book with my lovely book group called A Marriage at Sea, which is about, it's nonfiction. It's about a couple that went off sailing together alone to cross an ocean, and they were shipwrecked for 140 days, just the two of them on a dinghy and a raft with no food, no water, no tools, no radio, no nothing. And they survived, and their marriage survived. And it gives me courage, like, man, if they could do that and still maintain their relationship, there's an awful lot that we can overcome and learn from when bad things happen.
Marriage at Sea, and it's based on a true story?
Yes, it is. It was this couple, this British couple in the 70s who sailed across the ocean and they shipwrecked.
Amazing. I'll have to check that one out. So last question, what is one thing you're saying yes to in this season of life?
I am saying yes, very much like you. I am saying yes to being weak. I mean, not that you're saying yes to being weak, but I'm saying yes to not being the best.
Yeah, just playing, enjoying playing for the sake of playing, right?
Yes. I am just happy to be with other people, happy to be participating, happy to be welcome, and I'm gonna laugh at myself and play and make it a good day no matter what.
I love that. We're so aligned. Well, tell my audience how they can take this questionnaire, how they can find you, if they want to get a consultation and have their Enneagram analyzed like you did such brilliantly for me. How can they find you?
Thank you. So you can find me on my website. My website is www.beverlycoaching.com. Because I'm Beverly and I offer coaching. So why not beverlycoaching.com? And on that website, there's a button that says book a discovery call. And if you click that button, you'll see an option on that page to do an Enneagram assessment. And I'm holding a special rate for the next 30 days for your listeners of $100 an Enneagram assessment. The basic assessment, the full test from IEQ9, and a 1-hour debriefing with me and the written report. So that's how you can do that. And otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn at Beverly Jurenko, J-U-R-E-N-K-O, and on Instagram as beverly.coaching. So I'd love to hear from your listeners. And yeah, that's how people can reach me.
Amazing. Well, thank you everyone for going on the journey with me, that you can be a high achieving, successful person through alignment, not the hustle and grind. Share this show with a friend. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye everyone. So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, beautiful, abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us, and we can't wait to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you. Level up, don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising. My moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny.
is the